So tonight, we have with us, so my name is Mark, but we also have another guy named Mark who's going to give a talk. And so Mark Foley is one of our seminarians. So let's give thanks to him for saying yes to Jesus. Great. So now, Mark, where are you originally from?
Ireland.
He's originally from Ireland. So when I heard that, I thought to myself, I would be remiss if I did not have Monsignor Holmes give his favorite joke about Ireland. So, Monsignor, would you please come up and share with everyone this great Irish joke?
As unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, now that you've prevailed upon me, I will. So, a new fella in town comes into the local pub, and he orders 3 pints of beer at the same time. And he sits there very calmly, pleasantly, drinking his 3 pints. After the last, he pays his tab, he leaves. He becomes rather a regular at this establishment, and every time he comes in, it's the same thing. He orders immediately 3 pints, drinks them very sociably, and then pays his tab. So after a while, the proprietor says to him, well, you know, you're a fine customer, and however you want to order your refreshment is no business of mine, but it's a bit unusual. And he said, well, let me tell you why I do that. My 2 brothers and I all had to emigrate because times were hard in the old country. And one of the brothers went to Canada, one went to Australia, and I came here to the United States. But we determined that whenever we stopped to get a little something to slake our thirst, we'd have 3 pints to remember the 3 brothers. And we'd at least be together in spirit a bit in that way. So the proprietor said, well, that's a beautiful custom. And so happy you shared that. So life goes on. And a few months later, the fellow comes in. And this day, he orders 2 pints. And that's repeated the next couple of visits. So finally the proprietor says to him, well, I'm thinking that perhaps condolences are in order. I notice you're only ordering 2 pints now. And I'm thinking that maybe some misfortune has befallen one of the brothers. And the fellow says to him, well, your kindness is deeply appreciated, and I thank you very much for that. But I'm very happy to tell you that both my brothers are alive and very well. It's just that I myself have given up drink for Lent.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Monsignor, for perpetuating the stereotypes. So, but Mark, thank you for being with us. Mark, he grew up in Ireland, but he's been all around America, but has somehow found his way back here to the Diocese of Madison to be a seminarian for us. I think he'll tell you more about that. And we always love to have one of our seminarians give one of our Summer Theology on Taps. And he's highly recommended by Father Greg Iam, the Director of Vocations, so no pressure. And I asked Mark, I said, so what do you want to talk about? And he said, well, I really want to talk about Jesus and the Gospels and the Holy Spirit. And I said, you sound like someone who's preparing to become a priest. I think he's going to have some good things to say about Christ and how he's encountered him and how we can encounter him more deeply in our lives as young adults. So let's give Mark a hand.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So I think just to start the night, I guess we have like a warm-up question for you for just a minute or two. So this is your warm-up question. At your tables, if you could just kind of briefly discuss, what is your favorite story from Scripture? So it could be from the Gospels, from the whole Bible. Which one is your favorite? Which one means the most to you? So if you can just discuss that for a few minutes. All right, everybody. If you guys want to just wrap up for a minute. And if it's all right with everybody, tonight we're just going to start with a prayer. That would be great. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, you are a good, good Father. And we thank you for bringing us, your children, together here tonight. Father, we ask you just to pour your love upon us through the Holy Spirit. Help us to know you in ever deeper ways, to grow in intimacy with you, and to grow in love for one another. We ask you, Father, just to pour your Holy Spirit upon this place tonight. Help our hearts to be open. And we just ask that you fill us with your peace, with your love, and with your joy. And we entrust this night in a very special way to you, Mary, our beautiful mother. And we just ask you to pray for all of us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Awesome. Cool. So just three real quick disclaimers before I start. First one, I'm super glad you guys are drinking, because the more I talk, the better this talk will get, because it's got more booze in you, so that's great. Second disclaimer, I've been working with kids all week, and I'm exhausted, 30 of them, so if I'm kind of daisy or slurry, just have mercy on me, because these kids are exhausting. And third disclaimer, this is really important. If you came here tonight to be intellectually challenged or to receive some deep theological insights, I would probably leave now, because you totally are not going to get that from me. What I wanted to talk about tonight really was just kind of what Jesus Christ has been doing in my life and on my heart, and just really sharing that. I'm really glad there's three priests here, so that if I do say anything wrong or strange, they can stand up and correct that. But this is actually going to be just a very personal kind of sharing with you tonight, because the Lord's just been doing something weird. He's just been rocking my heart, and I just really want to share what all that is. I'm still working through a lot of this with my spiritual director, but I just want to talk about it, because I can't stop thinking about him. So would that be cool if we just do that? And I apologize if you want intellectual stimulation. You won't get it. So, okay, sweet, awesome. I'm just going to get some water quick. I'm 3 years into seminary now, so I just completed 2 years of pre-theology, and next year I'll be going into Theology 1. And I got to tell you guys, before going into seminary, I was really confused about what to do with my life. I don't know if any of you are in that place where it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, you just feel like you have no direction, and you just really want some direction, some purpose. And I really was in that place. And I just knew the Lord had been putting priesthood on my heart for a while, but I super like girls, and I didn't want to do that. So I fought the Lord for a really long time. But eventually, my senior year in college, it was fine, I'll do this, because I'll give you one year. So going to seminary, I thought it was going to be really straightforward. I thought it was going to be great. You get into seminary, I'm finally going to be around friends who all love Jesus Christ. We can talk about God. I'm going to have a great prayer life. I'm going to be learning so many beautiful things. It's just going to be great. I'm just going to grow and grow and grow. I couldn't be more wrong. Okay? I get to seminary. It's super hard. Some of the guys drive me nuts within 3 days. I feel like I have no time to pray because I'm up so late studying. And then I have to get up really early. And it became really clear after a few months that I actually felt like my life was falling apart. I'm like, this is really weird. I thought going to seminary, things would come together and it'd be great. But it actually feels like I'm just falling apart. So my best friend at the time, he was a Marine. And I called him up and I said, dude, this sucks. The Lord is just breaking me down. And he goes, man, it sounds a lot like the Marines. When you enter the Marines, that little cocky guy who walks in, they work hard on him and they break that guy down so they can build him up into a soldier. He's like, and it just sounds like that's exactly what you're going through. And so that kind of brought me a little bit of consolation. So prayer, my first year of seminary, was getting like harder and harder and harder. Because what was happening is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was forcing me to be like super vulnerable and really honest with him. And I did not want to go there. Because when I pray to Jesus Christ, I really like my pious prayers. I really like to look really nice in front of Jesus. I don't want him to see the ugly side. I don't want him to see the sin. I want him to see everything that's really nice. But it got to a point where my weaknesses, because seminary will bring up your weaknesses like nothing else. My weaknesses are coming up and up and up and up to the surface. And I'm getting so utterly frustrated with myself. And so one night, I was in the chapel, and I was praying. And I let God have it. Like, I mean, I was swearing at God. Like, we're in the chapel. There's the tabernacle. And I'm letting him have it. Because I'm like, Lord, I don't get you. Like, you are frustrating me so much right now. My prayer life is extremely dry. I feel like I'm not growing in virtue. I don't have this sense of your love, your consolation. I am just struggling. And you seem like you're absolutely nowhere. You seem so utterly absent. Now I'm really like, you know, just, I'm not going into full detail here, but I really, really that night, I just let God have it in prayer. And I felt really bad, but I was reading Divine Office. I think it was, is today Thursday? Yeah. So yesterday was Wednesday. So I was reading Divine Office on Wednesday, and this really hit me. So I just want to share it with you, like, super quick. Okay, so this is from evening prayer. It's from Psalm 139. This is a beautiful psalm. Okay. It says this. It says, O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through. And I just sat with that yesterday, and I was thinking about this in my time in the chapel. Like, why do I hide this level of vulnerability from the Lord Jesus? He knows my thoughts. Before I even let these swear words out of my mouth, he already knows them. He knows it's coming. And it's totally okay, I think, to sometimes take that mask off before the Lord Jesus Christ and just let yourself be completely vulnerable and honest with him. And I'll tell you what, that night turned out to be probably one of the best prayers I ever prayed. There was absolutely no holding back. So, I think it was like 2-3 nights later. Again, I was in the chapel and I was praying. And when I pray, I need a book because otherwise I get like too distracted. So I always have a book with me. So I was in the chapel and I'm praying, I got this book. And through my imagination, I was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ walk up to me. Okay, and he walks up to me and he's like, hey Mark. I was like, hey Jesus, you know. And he's like, I see that you're reading. And I said, yeah, Jesus. And he goes, I noticed that when you come and spend time with me, that you actually like to read. And I was like, yeah, I really do. He's like, well, what are you reading now? I'm like, well, it's St. John of the Cross, his something, spiritual canticle. And he goes, oh, that's good. I'm like, yeah, he's a good guy, yeah. So Jesus said, well, would it be okay, Mark, if I gave you something to read? And I was like, dang, that would be awesome. Yes, like, I would love that, you know? So he sits down next to me and he pulls out this massive stack of loose leaf paper. And on the loose leaf paper, I can see like his own handwriting. And he's like, Mark, I want you to have this. And I want you to read this. This is my gift to you. And I want you to read this as if I've only written this for you and nobody else. This is just between you and me. I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. Now, before I go any further, I have to tell you that when I was going through this struggle and I had that time of prayer at night with the Lord and I was really mad, there were two things, two questions that really came to the surface. The first question was this. In the Gospels, you're all familiar with this. Jesus is asking his apostles, he says, who do the people say that I am? Who do the people say that I am? And they go on to say John the Baptist and Elijah, yada, 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 right? But then Jesus turns to them, he says, you, who do you say that I am? And I always hate that question because when Jesus asks me that question, like you, who do you, Mark? Who do you say I am? It's like, I have no idea. Like, I generally don't know. And that's really surprising because, you know, you're a young man and you're studying for the priesthood. You should probably know who Jesus is. But I know a lot about you, Jesus. But I don't know you. I'm so desperate to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. And I don't. That was the first question. The second question that came up was the gospel. My whole life, I've heard that the gospel is good news. It's good news. But when I was talking with our Lord, I was like, Lord, I have absolutely no idea what the good news is. Because what I've done my whole life is I think I've reduced the gospel, the good news, to a moral life where what being a follower of Jesus is about is like somehow self-perfection. Now, this is just me. This doesn't have to be anybody else, but this is just how I've been perceiving it in my mind my whole life. Like, it's just about becoming really, really holy and being self-perfect. And I thought to myself, like, if somebody was to come up to me and say, hey, Mark, can you tell me what the good news of the gospel is? Like, it dawned on me, like, I totally couldn't. Because I actually don't know if it's really good news. Because, like, hey, you really want to sin, but Jesus says you can't sin, and you got to be good and holy. And it's great news, right? It's great news. But that's how I can see the good news in my heart all these years. And it led me to believe, like, there's got to be way more. There's got to be way more. So I was having this moment with Jesus Christ where he hands me this stack of loose leaf paper. And as I looked down at the loose leaf paper, I realized that what Jesus Christ has just handed me are the Gospels. And what was very clear to me is that Jesus was trying to answer my prayer, like, Mark, if you want to know me, you better start reading the Gospels. Because that's where you're going to find me. So ever since, I haven't touched another book in months. I've just been sitting and sitting with the Gospels and really trying to come to know who is Jesus Christ and why is he so amazing. So what I wanted to kind of do tonight is I want to walk through one of these scripture stories with you from the Gospels and just kind of reflect on Jesus a little bit. So hopefully that'll be okay. All right, good. I'm going to get more water, sorry. Okay. This comes from the Gospel of Mark. It's in chapter 5, okay? And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Now, I don't get this. I've been going through the Gospels for a little bit now, and I notice this over and over and over and over, that everywhere Jesus Christ goes, a great crowd is always following him. Why is there always a great crowd following Jesus Christ? What is it about him that all these people want to be around him? Now, this also puzzles me because, like, you go to church and, like, our churches are almost emptying out. So it seems to me there's some kind of disconnect here, because when he was here, when he was walking, people wanted to be around him so badly that at times they were trampling on each other and he couldn't himself even move. Yet we can't get out of church fast enough on Sunday. So I feel like there's this disconnect. There's something about Jesus Christ that attracts people profoundly. And I want to know what that is. I really want to know what that is. Okay. So he's gotten out of the boat. Okay. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and begged him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. This is kind of, this to me is kind of incredible. So you've got this guy, his daughter is sick, she's on the verge of death, and he's not going to doctors, he's going to Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? What is Jesus Christ going to do? He must be absolutely amazing to go to him because your daughter is sick and she's dying. So, a great crowd followed him, and again, thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." So this poor woman, she's really sick. She's been hemorrhaging for years. She's gone to doctors. And yet there's something about Jesus Christ that if I can just touch his garment, he'll heal me. He'll heal me. So, immediately, the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now, Jesus knows who touched his garments. But I think this woman probably, after being healed, maybe wanted to sneak off. But Jesus is like, I love you. And I want to look at you, and I want you to look at me. So his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, and I love this line, "Daughter." I love that he calls her daughter. Jesus says, "The Father and I are one." This is the heart of the Father talking to his beautiful daughter. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." I can only imagine how incredibly consoling and comforting that must have been to this woman. Go in peace and be healed of your disease, which has afflicted you for all these years. It is gone because you stood before Jesus Christ and you dared to believe in him and have faith. Wow. So, while he was still speaking, the story gets worse. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Okay, if you're a dad and you get that news, your daughter is dead, I can't imagine what that news is like to hear. Don't even bother Jesus Christ, because your daughter, who you love and who was sick, she's dead. Now, what happens to this father? I can only imagine there must be a tremendous amount of grief that would hit him at this moment. Complete grief and complete and utter despair, because I've been told that it is an absolute parent's worst nightmare that anything ever happened to their child. What does Jesus Christ do when he encounters a situation where there is nothing but despair and pain, the worst kind of pain and despair? What does Jesus Christ do? But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Man, can you imagine going up and saying that to a parent? Your child is dead. Don't fear, only believe. Who is Jesus? Man, okay. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, who, by the way, pray for us, St. James, it is your feast day. When they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a tumult and weep? Why are you doing this? Child is not dead, but sleeping." People must have thought Jesus was like crazy nuts. Like, "Jesus, no, I'm telling you now, this girl is dead. She's dead." They laughed at him, but he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him. And he went in where the child was, and taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were overcome with amazement. Amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. That is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. You have someone who draws a tremendous amount of people. He heals a woman who has had this disease for years. And this man who has just lost his daughter and is in tremendous amount of pain, he has brought her back to life. Jesus Christ is amazing. He is amazing. And he wants a relationship with you. Isn't that nuts? He's so good. He's so incredible. Very quick, I'm going to turn to John 14. Is it John 14? I think it's John 14. Okay. So, there's a lot in the Gospels that I'm really, really, really struggling with. Okay? Because the more I'm learning about Jesus, the more I'm learning, like, just how incredible he is. So, this comes at the end of the Gospel of John. It's chapter 14. And Jesus Christ says this. Okay. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me," who believes in Jesus? You all believe in Jesus. So this is you. Jesus Christ is talking to you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." What did Jesus Christ just do in the last story? He healed a woman, and he brought a little girl back from the dead. And he's saying right here that you too will do the same works and greater. I don't believe that. I don't have that kind of faith. I thought I was probably really misunderstanding this. I'm like, he can't mean that. He can't possibly mean that. So I have a really good like theology professor at my seminary. I'm really scared of him, because he like actually, I think he likes seminarians, but he's also like really sick of us because we're so dumb. Because he's like super good theologian. So I got one of my buddies, and I said, "Hey, can you go to him and can you take this gospel passage and can you ask him, like, does Jesus mean exactly what I think he means, like what he's saying here? Like, I'll pay you. So he did. Like, he went out, he stopped him after class one day and says, hey, you know, I just got a quick question for you, you know, something I read in the scripture. And so he opens up and he asks the theologian, he says, it says right here that Jesus, you know, he says this. And he goes, is that literal? Is that what Jesus means? And the theology professor looks and he goes, yes. Okay, thank you, doctor. He just kind of walks away, you know? He always gives us that dumb one. So, I was sitting there, and I was thinking about this, and I was really praying about this. And I brought, like, a lot of this stuff to my spiritual director, and I'm very blessed. I have a very good spiritual director. And he told me that I should really probably talk to this priest called, his name is Father Matthias. He's like, I want to put you in touch with Father Matthias. I think you'd really enjoy talking to him. So I was talking to Father Matthias, and Father Matthias was explaining to me that when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there's like a lot more. There's a lot more. Like there's more of God that we can receive. There's more to the gospel. So we can actually be really super open to receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit and like growing more deeply in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So Father Matthias, he's been super good, and he's been really talking with me. We've been doing like a lot of praying together, and he's like, Mark, I really think what you should do is like you should start going out, and you should do two things. He's like, the first thing I want you to do, he's like, is I want you to spend a lot of time in Scripture. He's like, because what you're doing is great. And he's like, but don't just try to understand Scripture. Like, get in Scripture. Get in there and let it get into you. Like, don't just try to understand it. Live it. Live it. Live the gospel. Live it. So he's like, I really encourage you every day to pray for more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. Like, just get desperate. Get, like, really desperate and get really hungry for God. Because he fills the hungry with good things. He is the living water that if we drink, we'll never be thirsty. So get thirsty, because he's got a ton of water he wants to give you to drink. And that water is the Holy Spirit. So get desperate, get hungry, get poor, get humble and lowly. He's like, he keeps telling me, like, get to the lowest place, because the water always runs to the lowest place. So get as low as you can. Get humble and poor and hungry. And that's just been like my prayer for weeks now. Like, I just go every morning and I just want to soak with the Father. I just want to soak with him. I just want to get down low and tell him how hungry I am for him, and how poor, and how I long so deeply for his Holy Spirit to come and live in my heart. And I just want to explode with the Holy Spirit. Like, I just want to be on fire with love for God and love for people. I'm so hungry and desperate. So he encouraged me to continue with my prayer life, but he also encouraged me, dude, go out and start praying for people to be healed. I'm like, what? Like, just do it. Like, Jesus Christ says that we are supposed to do this. So go and do it. So I thought, okay, but like, where does Jesus Christ say that? And he's like, in the Gospel of Mark. He's like, go to the end of the Gospel of Mark and read the end of the Gospel of Mark. So just so you know, I'm not lying. I'll go to the end of the Gospel of Mark. Yeah. What time is it? Sorry. Just wasn't time for 8:04. Okay, thank you. Mark. Matthew, Mark. I'm still learning. I'm so bad at scripture. I'm sorry. I am so bad at scripture. Oh, my Lord. My holy. Okay. Yeah, here it is. Okay. Jesus says this. He says, go into all the world. Okay, so there's the world. Okay, go there. Go there. Okay. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Preach the gospel. Go there, Jesus says, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. I think that includes birds. I do it all the time. I don't know. They're easy to preach to. They don't give you weird looks. It's great. Okay. So, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized, who believes and is baptized? All of you. Okay, sweet. Okay. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, check this out. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Who believes? Okay. These signs will accompany those of you who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they might recover. No, sorry. They should recover. No. And they will recover. They will recover. So Father Messiah told me, he's like, get out there, dude, and just start doing it. So this made me, like, really weird, because, like, that's super uncomfortable. You know, like, hey, sick person, I pray with you. Jesus, heal them. So, like, I prayed, like, one or two people, and, like, absolutely nothing happened. So I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. But then Father Matthias kind of chewed me out. And he's like, no, look, Mark, I'm telling you. He's like, I read the scripture passage, and I believed it. I believed it. And he said, for 3 months, I prayed with about 5 or 10 people every single day. Every single day. And you know what happened, Mark? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because God is testing my faith. He's deepening my faith. After about 3 months, bang. Like, it just exploded. Like, he's got some fantastic stories about people who have come to him for prayer, for healing. So it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. So, yeah, Father Matthias totally was encouraging me. So, I live with Father Scott Jablonski for the summer. It's been so, like, awful. No, it hasn't. No, it's been really, really, it's been super great. I gotta tell you guys, Father Scott is an amazing priest. I've learned so much from him. He said he would pay me to say this.
Not a lot.
No, really, he is a fantastic priest. But he's, I don't know, recently, like, there's a lot of, like, sick parishioners in his church. And it just, like, it really does. Like, it weighs on his heart when he gets a parishioner who comes to him and is like, you know, I'm sick, you know, and this, I've got this or this. Whereas I get, like, excited, which is, you know, like, you start to, like, see with the eyes of Christ. Like, it's really weird. Like, you look at that dude's hand, and you're just like, get over here, dude. You know? Like, I just want to pray with your hand and see what Jesus does. You know? Like, it's cool. Because he's alive. He's alive. And he does amazing things. And I think the thing about these sort of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives people is they're great tools for evangelization. Because I was thinking this, like, we were at Mass in Dane, and on Sunday, Father's got this guy in the back who's in a wheelchair. And every time I see him, I'm just like, oh, man, I'm going to pray with you. And I don't want to. I'm still scared. But I see this guy in a wheelchair, and I think, dude, wouldn't it be, like, an incredible homily if, like, Father Scott just, like, called him up in front of everyone and asked Jesus to heal him right there, like, get out of that wheelchair. Like, this is what Jesus did with the cripple, like, stand and walk. You're crippled. Jesus Christ is here, and he's alive, and he loves you. He doesn't want you in a wheelchair. Just rise and walk. Rise and walk. Like, what would that do to people's faith life in the church? Like, all these kids who are, like, so bored with church and think it's so boring, we're just like, oh my gosh, what just happened? You know, like, it would be incredible. Like, I think what it does to people's faith to help evangelize and help our culture rediscover Jesus. Because what I've noticed with the Gospels is that it seems like the model of evangelization that Jesus used was, like, he would preach the Gospel, and then he would demonstrate the truth of what he was saying with some kind of deed. You know, so he would preach the good news, and he would preach his love, but then he would demonstrate God's love through healing or words of knowledge, or casting out any kind of demon that someone had.
You know, so it's like the kingdom of God is like coming alive. It's coming alive. It's awesome. Where am I going? I don't know. What am I talking about? Yeah, talk about that. Okay, so yeah. So what I've been doing is, I've been going around and I've been praying with a lot of people, like a lot of people. I've seen absolutely nothing at all. It's great though. Like, at first, like, it really kind of freaked me out, but I just get comfortable with it now because it's like, what's the worst that happens? Nothing. And I'm totally used to that at this point. So, you know, I just keep going and I just keep praying with people. Because again, I'm really convinced it can be a beautiful way for somebody to encounter the risen Christ. Because he's alive and he loves you. He's amazing. I think that's all I want to say for the night. I do think, I'm just going to put this back in here. So, anyway. I just want to say, this is going to sound really weird, but part of my prayer has been, like, Jesus, I'm really hungry for you, and I'm really desperate to know your heart more, and I really want to fall in love with you, and one of the things that I'm really longing for in my life is, like, I really want to see your eyes. Like, your beautiful, holy, tender eyes. Because, like, I have this deep conviction that seeing the eyes of Christ just completely transforms the way you see everything. It changes the way you see him, and it changes the way you see others. So I just want to close by just letting you know that in some way, I really, really wish you could all see the way that Jesus Christ gazes at each one of you. Because there's so much tenderness and kindness and joy in his eyes when he looks at you. He's just so full of love for you. And I think, I don't know, maybe sometimes you don't realize just how crazy he is about you. And just remember, like, when you see the eyes of Christ, it's the eyes of your Father. Your Father is good. He's really good. Some girl was telling me, or I was watching this with a kid, like, from Totus Tuus. I'm working with kids this week. But, like, her dad came, and, like, he was just kind of picking her up. And, like, she put him on her feet, and, like, she was walking her around. He was walking her around, like this. And she was getting such a kick out of it. And it was just, like, a small little moment of prayer for me, because I'm like, that's God the Father. Like, sometimes he just wants to put you on his feet and, like, walk around with you and hope that you're smiling and enjoying it. But your Father loves you. He's good. And Jesus Christ is alive and he's amazing. And honestly, my deepest hope is that you can just get hungrier for God. Get hungrier for his love. Get hungrier for him. Get desperate. Because I'm really convinced there's so much more that he longs to give you for those of you who are willing to believe. There's so much more there. So I hope you can be open. I hope you can be receptive. And just watch how he just makes your life explode. Because he's great. Let's close with a Hail Mary. That'd be great. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do I do small group stuff now, Mark? Or that's good? Okay. So I guess you're in small groups. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. You're going to be getting into small groups? At your table. Sorry. Okay. I have two questions for you that I just want you to discuss. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is he to you? Just really think about it, maybe discuss it. And the second question is this. If a stranger came up to you who didn't really know a lot about Jesus or the Gospels, like, how would you describe the good news of the Gospel to somebody? In your own words, like, how would you describe it?